Your title today is Midwifing Change. Now, I'm putting two words together that may seem like strange words to put together. Number one, the word midwifing, when we know midwife as a noun, as generally a woman who helps birth babies in homes, right? That's how we're accustomed to seeing it. I had not seen it as a verb until Paul and I attended the New and Renew Conference, the 1st of May. And the woman, Christiana Rice, presented her talk on midwifing, and she was talking mainly about new churches, creating new churches and establishing those. But it was so suited any church that is looking to renew, that is looking to move forward. And I really love that word, and I really connected with it. And so I got online wanting to see what else there is, and I found that it exists there as a verb. And so, you know, feel free to get to Google it, and you may be surprised with what you find. So we have spoken about change quite a bit since we've been here, but changes have, incremental changes have been made here and there. And I just want you to be aware that we are a church, we are a living body, and all living bodies change. They all change. And so we need to expect that, embrace that, and move forward with that. So change is good. It is good. It brings new ideas. It brings new faces. It brings new spirit. It brings new attitudes. It brings to the group, to the body, a breath of fresh air. But I don't want to get too far ahead of myself right now, and I want to go back to the term spiritual midwifing. Spiritual midwifing is defined as bringing new souls to Christ. Now, I just never thought of it that way, but you are midwifing spiritually when you help bring someone closer to knowing Christ. And I love it. I love that concept. In essence, when we bring someone to a greater awareness, we are literally being the hands of Christ, bringing that soul closer to heaven, much as a midwife would bring a new baby into being. So it has intrigued me for several years, this midwifing, even though I'd heard it just recently as a verb. I'd heard it first as a heavenly midwife years ago. And I actually caught it first in a book that I was reading. And it mentioned that this midwife wasn't necessarily an angel. It could be like you or I in heaven bringing someone into the heavenly realm. And that could be, if you ever look at having a job in heaven, that may be a job that you would like to have, to help midwife someone into a new existence. So having birthed a child myself, and having understood the joy as well as the travail of bringing in new life, we recognize that when we midwife change, that we will have very similar experiences. And that as being a midwife, that it takes skill, it takes patience, and it does provide intimacy of what you may not expect otherwise. In fact, a midwife once stated that the experience is so meaningful to her because it is so intimate that you literally feel the woman's breath on your face and the heat of her struggle as she is birthing this new life. Now, you may say, that's too much information. But I want you to bear with me because it's going to bear out, okay? Don't close your ears yet. Bear with me. When we are intimate with somebody else, when somebody else shares their story of coming to Christ, or they're on the verge of coming to Christ, They're that close. Sometimes, and it has been told to me a long time ago, that the person who seems furthest away from Christ is actually the closest, because they're in that much of a battle. They're in that much of resistance that it doesn't take but just a small turn to bring that person in. So it is a sacred moment when we join the work of the Holy Spirit. We are privileged to hear the painful stories of someone who maybe isn't quite there yet. Sometimes it's laced with anger against God. Sometimes it's laced with anger against people. Sometimes it's hesitancy. And sometimes it's just the sense of feeling separated, of being lonely, of wondering if their life has meaning. And then, when they connect, and that's through the power of the Holy Spirit, you see the Holy Spirit move. You see the Holy Spirit move and transform that life in a way that no one else can. I'd like you to open up the Pew Bibles, if you will, with me to page 93 in the New Testament. Keep in mind, there's a page 93 in the Old Testament. We're going to go in the back. We're going to the third chapter of John, again found on page 93. What we have here at the beginning of the third chapter is Jesus' discussion with Nicodemus, which you are probably quite familiar with. But I want you to really key in and listen to this birth and this whole midwife concept as we're reading along. Begin with verse 1. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus that night, and he said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." And Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." And Nicodemus said to him, "Well, how can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of flesh is flesh, but what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I say to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. The wind blows where it chooses." Now, this is a characteristic of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? We cannot control God. His Spirit blows where it will. Now, we have mentioned how we have seen the Spirit moving in this church as a body, with individuals, with couples. And it's always behind the scene. The whole body doesn't ever see all that's going on. But every week, you ask us how tired we are. Sometimes we're really tired. But what keeps us motivated? It's hearing your stories. It's knowing that the Holy Spirit is working in your life and that you are seeing differences, not only with yourself, but with those around you. I asked Jeff Bowman for this permission to share his story of what happened last Sunday. Now, Jeff frequently shares with me how he needs to write down things to remember items, okay? Anybody else need to do that? You need to, okay. See, Jeff, you're not alone on that. We all need to write things down in order to remember them. But there was a miracle that happened last Sunday in Jeff's life, and it just can't go without being said and without being shared. As Jeff was leaving the service and he shook my hand, as is always customary, he mentioned the chorus without looking. He mentioned the chorus at the very beginning of the service that we sang called Bind Us Together. Remember that? Now keep in mind, this is an hour and some minutes later that he is remembering not only how meaningful that was, but the exact title of it. He stated that he wanted to review the lyrics again because something came over him during the singing of that chorus, and he couldn't clearly describe the experience, and we can't, can we? When the Holy Spirit moves in our life, it just moves. But he knew the Holy Spirit had touched him during that chorus. And as Jeff and I were talking this morning, and I again was asking his permission to share a story, he says, you know, I did. I went home and I looked up those words. And he remembered to do that. You know, of all the times, Jeff, that you and I have shaken hands, that day, last Sunday, was different from all the others. When Jeff shared this experience with me, his voice was hushed, and he was in awe. And that's when you know the Holy Spirit has made a presence. So thank you, Jeff, for sharing that, how the Spirit moved with you last Sunday. We sense that same Spirit moving with others here in the church. So don't ever hesitate to share with Jeff how God has touched your heart as well. And don't ever hesitate to share with us as a body how God is moving in your life. I'd also like to share a testimony that I heard years ago as a young mother. And it was the story I read about this midwifing being in heaven. It was a book that I had read of a woman who had a near-death experience. In fact, she died, went to the other side, came back, and told of the experience. Now, how many of you have heard those kinds of testimonies? You've heard them, you've read them. Okay, we don't know how much to believe, but they claim I died, and the records show I died and I came back. And so I'm always interested. Aren't you curious what heaven's going to be like? I'm just curious. I want to know. And so I listen to what they have to say. And this one woman said that as she was crossing through the veil, she saw beings midwifing, pulling adults, children, all ages, pulling them into heaven. And other people have noted that same experience, only they called them a guide, that someone took their hand and guided them and took them around heaven. And I thought, what a beautiful job. I am not going to be any good at playing the harp, okay? Not any good here at Earth. I probably won't be any better up there, and I probably won't even show an interest in it. But if he will make me a midwife, now that's something I could really enjoy, helping someone come into a new experience. You know, my father passed away in April 2010. He suffered from a stroke while he was at Timbercrest Nursing Home, and they didn't find him till the next morning. I really think if they caught it right away, if he'd been wearing that button around his neck instead of putting it on his bedpost, that, yes, see how imperative it is to wear that, that I think he would have survived it. But needless, he did not, and he was found the next morning. He was still breathing, but he was no longer able to communicate. We rushed him, of course, to the hospital, and of course, I have a large family, so there were a lot of siblings there, and of course, mother was at his side. And once we got the news that there wasn't anything more that they could do for my father, they moved him into a small cubicle room, which was fine. I mean, the care was excellent, okay? There's no complaint there. But at one point in time, and it had to have been a God thing, Dad and I were alone in that little cubicle room. I mean, I have all these siblings and Mom, and for whatever reason, they had all stepped out. And I was there alone with Dad. And his only sight that wasn't paralyzed, he couldn't talk, but was his right arm, and he couldn't move it from time to time. And I was holding that right hand. At one point, I could see his eyes were opened, and he shook off my hand, and he reached upward. Now, I didn't know at the time what was occurring, and I thought he needed me, so I went to take his hand, and he shook it off a second time, and I could see with urgency he was reaching up. Makes complete sense to me now, right? When his arm dropped to his side, he never moved past that point. Now, he did continue to breathe, but he never moved. There was no sign of communication at that point. I believe my father was being midwife to heaven at that exact time. I just believe it. And I felt so privileged to be there to watch my father be joyfully go to heaven. So I know how tough these times are. And Bill, we love you. We want you to know how much we care about you. It's never easy, but we can cry tears of joy knowing that when they reach up, there's someone accepting them, that they are joyfully entering a new realm. And who knows, that may be the very individual who will reach down to us and take our hand and midwife us to a heavenly realm. But let's go back to John. Let's go back to John chapter 3. And I want us to look at these verses yet again. It states, what is born of the flesh is flesh, but what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I say to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. At the same leadership conference that we attended, the New and Renew conference, they gave a handout which I used with the leadership group that I know several of you had mentioned that you really liked it. And it had to do, the title was, The First 50 Will Be Messy. And they're talking about the first 50 people who come into your church. Expect it to not be perfect. Expect it to be messy. And I think that's true regardless if you're planting a new church or whether you are bringing in 50 new members. Folks, we're not all going to be identical. We're not all identical now. So it's going to be messy. It's not going to be perfect, but that doesn't mean we give up. That doesn't mean that we choose to divide. That doesn't mean that we stop loving one another. It means that we embrace these differences, okay? We embrace it. So why is the process messy? Because it's change, and change is messy. When you midwife a child, what's the first thing they shout out? Boil lots of water and grab lots of towels, okay? We're in for it, we're in the messy part, all right? I also like to compare it to making cookies, or since we're having cakes today, let's compare it to making a cake, all right? So what ingredients go into that cake? How many of you put raw eggs in there? Okay, you don't put in boiled eggs, you put them in raw. Okay, now do you dip your finger eagerly in that raw egg and say, oh, yum, this is good? No. So we throw in other things. We throw in flour, we throw in sugar. Other ingredients, and these are not the same. These ingredients are very different in shape, in texture, and yet when you blend them, what do you get? A delicious dough that I can't stop from eating. So when I make cookies, I know I shouldn't, but when I make cookies, my family may see half of them, okay, because it's just my thing. I love cookie dough. But, all right, and then how many of you licked the bowl? Now, come on, confess, you licked the bowl, the batter. All right, see, there are others of you who are right in there with me. And it's all messy and it's gooey and you get it all over your face and your hands and you love every minute of it. You love every minute of it because you're looking toward the end. Not only is it good now when it's messy, it's even going to be better as long as you don't overbake the thing, right? Uh-huh. As long as you don't leave the biscuits too long in the oven. I knew my son was going to point at me. So I just thought, well, we'll make that clear right away. But once you make the batter, you've got to put it in the oven, and then you have to be patient because the process isn't done. And it's just like bringing people into the church. We bring them in, doesn't mean the process is done, okay? So we have to blend, and we have to give it time. We have to give it time. So it is true, the same is true with change. For change to occur, it will take differing opinions. It will take researching the topic. It will exploring various avenues before deciding on a path that is best, that best meets the needs of the whole population. Now, another way I have looking at this, and I'm sorry, this is just a teacher in me, but how many of you have taken multiple choice tests? All right? So as a teacher, you teach kids how to take these multiple choice tests, right? So if there are four answers, one is always going to be completely wrong, okay? You do not select that one because that one's completely wrong. Another one will be half wrong, right? And then you're usually left with two answers. And this is where I hated multiple choice, because I thought they were both good answers, and I could have reconciled with either one of them. But they always said that there is a good, but then there is a better. Okay, so of the good and the better, which one is the best answer? All right? Which one is the best? And decision-making becomes like that in the church. There are good options, and we know there are many good options out there. So when we're making a change, again, we have to ask ourselves, as we sift through all of this, just like we sift through the flour, what is going to be the best for the congregation? And then what? It's just like on a test, you fill it in, you circle it, and you pray you got the right answer, right? You pray you got the right answer, and you pray that you got enough right that you don't fail the test, right? So we do that as Christians. We do the best we can. We fill it in the best we can, and we pray. We hope that the Holy Spirit will help us get it right enough, that we can bolster and we can benefit from the choices made. So the whole process of decision-making, to me, is almost a midwifing process. It takes time. There's going to be some agony. There's going to be some pain with it. It isn't always easy. Now, I know the mother would like to give that baby up. It's like, just go now. But at the same time, it's really hard to separate yourself from a child you've been carrying for 9 months. It's different. And as a young mother, and especially as a first-time mother or a parent, guys, I got to tell you, it's scary for both of us. You're going into unknown territory. It's going to be uncertain. You're praying for the best, and you pray that you pray that what we don't achieve personally and individually, that the Holy Spirit can cover with grace. So let us not be afraid to birth change in the church. Let us not be afraid to birth change in our lives. Let us not be afraid to approach someone who you know is struggling to make a decision and to help them birth into that next phase of their life. I pray that we will be so close to the Holy Spirit, that we will be so close that we will feel the breath of the Holy Spirit in the presence of our lives. Now, do you see where I was going with that? May we be so close to God that we feel the presence of the Holy Spirit upon us. Amy Grant, I thought, was right on. It's such a shame it's a Christmas song, because to me it's not a Christmas song at all. You know exactly where I'm going with this, don't you? She has a song that I know I played this last Advent called Breath of Heaven. And it goes like this. Here's some of the lyrics. I am frightened by the load I bear. In a world cold as stone, must I walk this path alone? Oh, breath of heaven, lighten my darkness. Pour over me your holiness, for you are holy. Breath of heaven, hold me together. Be forever near me. Breath of heaven, be with me now. For men and women, as we watch the birth of a child, as we watch a birth of a situation, as we watch a birth of change, we see the beauty of the relationship that we have with Christ, that we can be so near to God that we can sense this breath. We have the beauty of being so close to Christ that seeking his spirit changes into an awestruck moment of knowing that God is present. Let us remember that response that Christ gave to Nicodemus. I'm going to say it one more time. Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and being born of the Spirit. What is born of flesh is flesh, but what is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I say to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Amen.